Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
All right, welcome back, tokers and tokettes, non-toking lovers of liberty. It's the 4 o'clock hour here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. Glad you could be here. I'm just catching up on some of the news. The Republican National Convention has started. And apparently there's all sorts of chaos going on. Naked women staging a protest. The never Trump people trying to change the rules so they can get rid of Trump and not succeeding. It's quite interesting going on, and interesting to watch this happen. The Republicans, of course, are nowhere near marijuana reform. Nowhere near. They ain't touching with a 10-foot pole. They did, in their platform, describe pornography as a public health menace. That's right, pornography, a public health menace. Not an amazing proliferation of firearms and mass shootings. Not the opioid epidemic that is clearly addressable through the use of medical cannabis. Not even the Zika virus. Nope. It's pornography. Yeah, pornography. It's funny to me how the GOP, which touts itself as being the patriotic ones, the lovers of the Constitution, especially the one half of the Second Amendment that they cherish, it's funny to me how little of the rest of the Constitution they cherish. Pornography is a First Amendment right. It's a First Amendment right of expression. It's a First Amendment right of communication. It's a First Amendment right of speech. If you don't like the pornography, you don't have to watch the pornography. Right? They're not broadcasting it on TV yet. You're not going to accidentally turn on your TV and see some porn. You actually have to log on to your computer and go to specific websites to find it. If you got cable, it's on certain channels, and you can change those channels. You can even lock those channels out. But no, it's porn that's a big problem to the GOP. Okay. I just wish they loved the First Amendment like they loved the Second. That would be nice to see. And then there's the Democrats. Oh, my God. Democrats getting together next week. It's going to be cool. Chris Goldstein and N.A. Poe were quoted in that story I covered earlier, how they're bringing the 51-foot inflatable joint to the Democratic Convention. Should be quite interesting. The Hillary Clinton campaign is pushing hard for Democratic unity. They're stunned. They're flummoxed by the Bernie or Bust crowd. They can't believe it. They can't understand why people who would support a Democratic socialist who wants to break up the banks aren't getting behind the corporately sponsored bank-owned candidate. It's weird, isn't it? Isn't it weird? Trevor Noah from the Daily Show actually had a piece on this the other day. If you don't vote for Clinton, you're effectively voting for Trump. I am so tired of hearing that. So tired of hearing that. There is only one way Donald Trump gets a vote, and that's if you vote for Donald Trump. It's simple math, really. Vote for Hillary Clinton, she gets a vote, and nobody else does. Vote for Donald Trump, he gets a vote, and nobody else does. Or vote for Gary Johnson, and he gets a vote, and nobody else does. Trump can only win if he has more votes than everybody else. And the only way he gets more votes is people voting for him. We'll talk more about this when we come back from break, because I am tired of this Donald Trump gun being held to my head to force me to vote for Hillary Clinton.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry. Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat? More flavor.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
Hope everybody's got their vape pen handy, or their pipe, or their bong, or whatever you use to do your medicine.
But you don't. Important. It's not a requirement. You don't have to be high for this show.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
I don't know who you're talking to. You have to be high to do anything. At least I do. I don't know about you. In fact, I've been high so long that being straight is another high.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We need to build a wall.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the New Era.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 8 after the hour, and I want to continue on this mini rant about this lesser of two evils voting. And it's a weird place for me to be, because year after year, I've been the guy that's told people, look, it's a two-party system, like it or not, game theory, math, only a Democrat or Republican can win. So I'm kind of going against stuff I've said in the past, and I hope that's okay. You know, sometimes you come upon new information, new understanding, and you might have to change your mind on something. And this is what I'm changing my mind on. I used to be one of these guys that would tell people, don't vote third party, you're throwing your vote away, only a Democrat or a Republican can win. And there were always two main examples of that. The first example would be the 1992 Clinton-Bush-Perot race. And the other example would be the 2000 Bush-Gore-Nader race. Now, in the Clinton race, Bill Clinton only won the presidency with 42% of the popular vote. Because Ross Perot took about 19%, took about 20%. I don't even know if it was that high. I might be thinking John Anderson from back in the 80s. But anyway, Perot took some of the vote. And the way people looked at it was, Had it been Clinton and Bush, Bush would have won. But Perot sucked off some of Bush's support. Because Perot was this libertarian candidate, and Bush was, I guess he was independent, wasn't he? Anyway, but he was kind of on the right, okay? So Bush being on the right, they split the vote of the righties, and so the lefty gets in, Bill Clinton. Yeah, yes, we'll call Bill Clinton a lefty for now. And the other example would be 2000, Bush Gore Nader, where Nader's considered to be on the left of Gore, and so the lefties split their votes up, and that allows Bush to win. Now, that wasn't as cut and dried because there was a whole Florida debacle and hanging chads and a Supreme Court and everything. But those are generally the two cases that are given to justify this lesser of two evils voting. And that's why I think this year is different. If we look back to 1992 or we look back to 2000, people who identify themselves as Republican or Democrat, depending on which year, made up a plurality of the voters. These days, neither Democrats nor Republicans are the plurality. Independents are at like 40 or 41%. So right off the bat, the people who you would call Democratic voters or Republican voters who'd be throwing their votes away is less than 60% of them. So the remaining 40, that 40% of independents, you can't call them naturally Hillary voters or naturally Trump voters. They're independents. They've turned off to both parties. And then you get a Gary Johnson who joins the race. Now, if Gary Johnson gets more and more traction in this race, it's not going to be a situation like a Perot pulling only from the Republicans or a Nader pulling only from the Democrats. I feel Gary Johnson, and so far the polls have proven me right on this, Gary Johnson's pulling from both sides. Gary Johnson's going to pull from both sides. Now, if that's the case, you don't have to feel guilty about voting for Gary Johnson. I don't at all, because my vote was never a natural Hillary vote. Yes, I've voted Democratic on numerous occasions in the past, and generally they tend to reflect my values and vision more than Republicans. And that's why I'm not voting for Hillary. I already said this months ago. I don't vote for Republicans, and Hillary is a Republican. She is a Rockefeller Republican, a moderate Republican. Sorry, she just is. Too many of her owners, too many of the things she's beholden to reek of Republican. So this year, you don't have to feel guilty. You can vote for Gary Johnson knowing that, hey, he's going to pull from Republican, he's going to pull from Democrat. If Gary Johnson pulls equally from both sides, then if Hillary wins or loses, it's still the same effect as to whether or not Gary Johnson didn't run at all. If Gary Johnson pulls equally from both sides, he is not a spoiler, unlike Nader or Gore were. Now, we also have to take into account something that didn't exist for the Bush-Gore-Nader race or for the Clinton-Bush-Perot race, and that is the two candidates from the leading parties are the most hated candidates of the leading parties ever. I fully believe that Donald Trump has a ceiling of support that can't possibly get above 40%. And I think Hillary Clinton is finding her support declining. We've seen it take a crash after her obvious lies about her email server. I mean, how many different media outlets ran that back-to-back UN 2015 Hillary versus James Comey and his report? Do you see that get run on Morning Joe? Mika Brzezinski can only just roll her eyes. And in this kind of unique situation, I think if Gary Johnson can get that 15% and get on that debate stage, and there can be a clear third choice that isn't seen as a protest or a spoiler vote, but actually starts to seem like, hey, this guy could have a shot, that's just going to feed that. The only thing that's keeping third parties down is the fact that nobody believes third parties can win. How many people have you spoken to who say, well, yeah, I'd like to vote for Gary Johnson, but he just can't win. Third parties just can't win. Well, yeah, if you say third parties can't win and you won't vote for them, then you're right. They can't win. But consider this. Consider an election where Johnson gets into the debates and electrifies the audiences, is able to point out how similar Hillary and Donald are on many, many issues, and paint himself as the credible alternative. Imagine an election season where both sides are disappointed in their candidate and 40% of the electorate is independent, finally seeing a valid third option that has a chance to win. Now, what the popular vote says doesn't mean fuck all in all of this. You know that, right? We don't popularly elect our president. It goes down to the Electoral College. That usually, in most cases, follows what the state voters tell them to do. Some states force them to. Not all of them do. So, already on the GOP in the convention right now, we're seeing this Never Trump movement, these people that are just flabbergasted at the idea that he'd be their leader and destroy their electoral possibilities for the next generation of Latinos and African Americans and women and millennials. And they desperately want some other answer. So imagine that we get to the election and there's enough support for Gary Johnson that he's able to actually win a couple of states. And to win a state, he's not going to need a lot, right? There's a three-way race. He could get it with 40% of the vote if Clinton and Trump split the rest, right? So take his home state of New Mexico. Gary Johnson was a governor there for 2 terms. That's 5 electoral votes sitting there, I think. I don't think Bill Weld is going to help Johnson take Massachusetts over Hillary Clinton. But I do think there are some intermountain western states, small, rural, libertarian-leaning states that could go Gary Johnson's way. Places that rejected Donald Trump even when it was clear Donald Trump was going to be the winner. Places like Idaho, Utah, Wyoming, Montana, North and South Dakota. Imagine a few of those interior, highly conservative red states that are also highly religious and are turned off by Donald Trump. Imagine they go Gary Johnson's way. And he picks up 20, 30, 40 electoral votes, maybe. And maybe that's enough electoral votes that neither Hillary Clinton nor Donald Trump can get to the 270 they need to win the Electoral College. Okay, so what happens then? Well, in a case where no candidate gets a majority of the Electoral College, the election goes to the House. And it's an interesting procedure. This is all in the 12th Amendment and the 20th Amendment. The top 3 finishers go to the House of Representatives. This happened before. I think it was the election of 1804. John Quincy Adams and who else was involved? Andrew Jackson, Clay, and somebody else were all involved. 4 guys split the electoral vote. So the top 3 of them went to the House. And then Clay, the 3rd place finisher, dropped out and gave his votes to the top finisher. And that's how John Quincy Adams became president. A little history lesson. Anyway, in this scenario, Trump, Hillary, and Johnson would go to the House of Representatives. Each state has 1 vote, and that vote is determined by their reps. So in a state like Idaho that's got 2 representatives, maybe those 2 vote for Johnson. That's 1 state voting for Johnson. Some states, you might have a deadlock. You might have 1 Republican, 1 Democrat. They pick 2 different guys. That state ends up not picking anybody because they couldn't come to a majority consensus for that particular state. So imagine a few states deadlocking. And then what is required is that the finisher then has to get a majority of the states. So you'd have to get 26 states to win. If that doesn't happen, I can see a scenario where that doesn't happen, where they can't break the tie. The vice presidential candidates, the top 2 vice presidential candidates are selected by the Senate. And whoever that vice president is that's selected becomes the president if the House can't break the tie. Folks, that could lead us to Hillary Clinton's VP or Donald Trump's vice president actually being president.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you, Mr. President. Got some good comments in the chat room here. John Thomas talking about how the Johnson Weld ticket would be tough among seniors because of their want to dismantle Social Security and other social programs. Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be an easy road to hoe. I'm just so tired of the duopoly. Happy 420, everybody. We'll come back and talk about some weed when we return.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
It's time for Cannabis Facts About Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may in fact be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show, annoying Kevin Sabet since 2012.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Yar, thar be pirates here. Har.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 23 after the hour, and said I was going to come back and talk about weed, but I flipped through the internet and saw something else that I got to make a comment on. I just can't help it. So I had seen some things flying around. I mentioned yesterday I was in bed all day. My back has been killing me. Lower back, I don't know what's up. So I was in bed, and I'd gone through Twitter a couple times, but really I was in such pain I didn't do much of anything but just lay in the bed and watch YouTube. But I'd heard something about the Baton Rouge shooting. And I'm like, yeah, that, you know, the whole case of Alton Sterling, you know, the young man that was gunned down selling CDs in front of a convenience store in Baton Rouge. Yeah, that's terrible, the Baton Rouge shooting. No, that was the last Baton Rouge shooting. There's a new one. This time, a guy that ambushed cops and killed three of them. Similar to what we saw out of Dallas. And wow, what do you say about that? For so long, we have had this undercurrent among the people that support the Second Amendment. And this undercurrent has been, this justification has been, that we need to maintain our arsenal so that we can rise up and apply Second Amendment remedies. To quote a former Nevada official, we need to apply Second Amendment remedies to the problem of a tyrannical government. Hasn't that been the justification, right? Second Amendment remedies to a tyrannical government. So if you're a black person in this country and you continually, day after day after day after day, in measures small and grand, see your government mistreating you and your people, how does that whole Second Amendment remedy fit in that context? You know the old saying, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, right? Now, don't misconstrue what I'm saying here. I am not at all condoning anybody shooting anybody. Cops shooting people or people shooting cops. I want the shootings to stop. But it also reminds me of Chris Rock's routine on O.J. Simpson when he said, I don't support O.J. for what he did, but I understand it. I understand what led him to that. Well, I understand what's leading these people to kill cops. You can only deny justice so long. You can only deny that so long before somebody reacts like this, before someone acts out like this. No justice, no peace isn't just a slogan. And I wonder how many of those Bundy Ranch types, you know, supporters of the of Clive and Bundy down there in Nevada, who just didn't want to pay taxes, and he had his redneck militia drawing up sniper positions against federal agents. I wonder what they think about these black people shooting cops up. I bet they don't hold them in the same regard, do they? For some reason, if you're a white guy in Nevada who just doesn't want to pay taxes, you can threaten the cops all you want with your weapons. But if you're a black guy and your people continually get screwed every day of the week in every way possible, then we're supposed to be shocked when they go up and start using their Second Amendment rights. Now, I know what some would say. Well, there's a difference, Russ. We're talking about law-abiding gun owners. Nobody at the Bundy Ranch ever shot nobody. Right, only because the feds backed down. There would have been plenty of shooting had our side, the U.S. government side, not backed down. Seems like quite a double standard to me that we can have people openly calling for this idea that we need to rebel against our tyrannical government, that we need to have guns to fire against our tyrannical government. But when a real tyranny is happening and has been happening in this country for 400 years to black people, they don't seem to hold that tyrannical government to the same standards. Just, it's frustrating to me. And I have to talk about it because that's what I do. But it's starting to bum me out. So let's get back to talking about weed and how that could help. First of all, let's get everybody high. This ought to be, bongs for justice, joints for justice. What are we going to call it? You remember when President Obama had that beer summit? When they had the Henry Louis Gates, African-American professor, got busted by cops trying to get into his own house. So they had a beer summit. Let's get together on the South Lawn and have a beer and talk it out. Let's have a joint summit. How about that? How about we have a joint summit about all of these shootings? Get everybody in a room together. Get them all baked as hell. Talk it out. All right, let's talk about weed because that's the important thing here. We are on the verge of the biggest change in this country's culture in a long time. It's been interesting because I was laid up yesterday, so I was watching a bunch of old videos on YouTube, and I happened to get one that was Joe Rogan and Tommy Chong on Paul Provenza's show, The Green Room. It's on Showtime. And this was a clip from 2011. So it's Tommy Chong and Joe Rogan talking about legalization before it had happened. And of course, a lot of the things they said about legalization absolutely came true, right? You know, we didn't see an increase in teen use, but yada, yada. But it was interesting watching and listening to the discussion from before legalization. It's like we have an AD and a BC now. We have a before and after legalization that happened in 2012. And the conversations just aren't even the same anymore. It's amazing. I went looking back through some of my articles too, from 2010, 2011, you know, before Prop 19 even, you know, failed in 2010. And it's interesting how much the discussion has changed in just these 3 years of full-scale legalization being implemented. Remember when Kevin Sabet used to warn us that, well, for every $1 we bring in alcohol and tobacco taxes, it costs us $10 in social costs. Remember that? Remember the Sabet conjecture? Sabet conjecture? Every dollar in tax is going to cost you $10 in social costs. You don't hear that one anymore, do you? Nobody mentions that one anymore, do they? Because we actually can plug numbers in now. And I predicted this. I told people for the longest time, going back to the first time Kevin Sabet ever said it, is that if you want to know, like I used to say, okay, estimate for me what the social cost will be, and then we'll just make the tax that. Right? Like, okay, so let's admit we fucked up with alcohol and tobacco. Let's admit it. They should be taxed 10 times more than they are. They got away with it. We'll forget about it for now. So since we're starting anew with marijuana, tell me how much it's going to cost. Whatever that cost is, that's what the tax will be.
We couldn't find out. There's so many variable, blah, blah, you know.
Not a lot of answer to that question, because he knew what the whole propaganda scaremongering was about, and that is uncertainty. All the prohibitionists have is fear, uncertainty, and doubt. FUD. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And so this $1 in alcohol taxes, $10 worth of alcohol costs, was a way to lead someone into inferring that, oh, therefore $1 in marijuana tax will be $10 in marijuana costs, without him having to get stuck to that, without him having to say that. It made one side of the equation, or the equality, but not the other side of the equality, right? And so I always poked a hole in that by saying, well, tell me what it's going to cost. Give me one of the variables on that other side and I can figure out the other one. Oh no, that exposes the trick, right? And now the trick is fully exposed because we actually have data for one of the numbers in the equation. We have $200 million in tax revenue and counting. It's more now because that's an old figure. $200 million in tax revenue from Washington and Colorado.
Well, let's go back to the equation. For every $1 in taxes, there's $10 in costs. So all you got to do now is show me the $2 billion in social costs. $2 billion. Good luck.
Because you can't find it. You can't find it in the kids smoking pot more because they're not. You can't find it in traffic fatalities because they're down. You try to find it in ER visits, perhaps, but I doubt you got $2 billion worth of them. Lost productivity? Hell, we just saw the study come out that say fewer sick days. We saw the study coming out saying fewer Medicare prescription costs. So even if we didn't count all the savings that we're making on that and the savings on law enforcement that aren't having to bust people all the time, where's the $2 billion in costs? Hell, I'll even give you a push. Show me $200 million in social costs for marijuana. And they don't want to do that. You know, if the numbers were in their favor, they would. But they can't. That's how much the discussion on marijuana has changed in just 3 or 4 years from having actual data. This is another point that I made oftentimes in the later 2000s when I'd be on stump speeches from state to state. I would say one of the things that's tough about legalization is you're getting people to vote for something they have to imagine. Yeah, we can say treat it like alcohol and that helps a little, but nobody has ever seen or imagined what the world would be like with legal weed. Well, now we know. Now we know that the world doesn't change much except for increasing your economy, your housing values, decreasing your violent crime, decreasing your property crime, creating jobs, increasing tax revenues. Now we know.
That's why you're seeing 60% support in the polls down there in California for legalization. And that's what's going to kill prohibition. Once California falls, and with it, Arizona and Nevada, and yes, Maine and Massachusetts, that's great too. But the real focus will be when people look at a map, and I know it's like we're all 50 states, right? But Massachusetts is a little tiny state. And Maine, nobody even, half the people probably think Maine's part of Canada, right? They're not looking at that corner of the map. They look at that left side of the map and see the entire Pacific time zone from San Diego to Seattle. And the party gambling mecca of Las Vegas and Phoenix and Tucson, included in that, the Valley of the Sun, we're going to have a whole section, a whole region of the United States where marijuana is legal. And the tax revenues that are going to come in from California alone are going to completely change the discussion. You'll see in 2017, 2018, it's not going to be a matter of whether or not we should legalize marijuana in our state. It's how quickly can we legalize marijuana in our state? Because if you're the 10th state to legalize, there's still some money, there's still some tourism, there's still some cachet, and the prices of marijuana are still pretty high. If you're the 49th state or the 50th, you're going to be coming in when weed's down to 10 bucks an ounce, and nobody's going to want to come to your state to smoke it because they already got it legal in their state.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
CannabisRadio.com keeps you in the know Monday through Friday on air and on demand with Cannabis Radio News. Presented with the definitive worldwide news source, the Associated Press. Stay informed with exclusive news on all things cannabis. Cannabis Radio News, live weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, during the Russ Belville Show, or download the daily podcast exclusively on CannabisRadio.com, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. When breaking news happens in the cannabis industry, Cannabis Radio News delivers the details first.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the new era.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Talking a little bit about politics and marijuana, we do know two out of the three vice presidential candidates at this point. Former Massachusetts Governor William Weld is running with Gary Johnson on the Libertarian ticket, and current Indiana Governor Mike Pence is running with Donald Trump on the Republican ticket. We don't know who Hillary Clinton has chosen yet. My bet is on Raul Castro. But we'll see. And what's interesting about this is earlier in the hour, I told you about that crazy scenario that could happen.
where if no candidate gets 270 electoral votes, it goes to the House. The top three presidential candidates are chosen by the states. Each state gets one vote. The vote is decided by their representatives in that state. So if your state has two reps, those two decide. If your state's like California has 55 reps or 53 reps, I think, then those 53 vote and decide. But California gets one vote, Idaho gets one vote, Oregon, and so on. You got to get 26 states to win the thing. And if that doesn't happen, if the House can't come to a decision where one candidate gets a majority of the votes, the other side kicks in, and that is that the vice president is chosen by the Senate. And the Senate, each senator gets one vote, 100 votes total. The Senate is currently, 55-45 Republican? And that vote is among the top two vice presidential candidates. So suppose that scenario I outlined where we get a Hillary Clinton, let's say Clinton wins, Trump second, but Gary Johnson's pulled enough electoral votes in third place to deny the Electoral College. So it's down to Hillary, Donald, and Gary in the House. But in the Senate, they would be choosing between Hillary Clinton's running mate and Mike Pence. Okay. So on the House side, if they don't come to a decision on the House side, the vice president, who is selected by the Senate, becomes the acting president. And in a 55-45 Republican Senate, I got to believe they're going to pick Mike Pence. So the nightmare scenario of a Governor Gary Johnson candidacy could be President Mike Pence. Here's why that's kind of scary, among other reasons. Tom Angel at marijuana.com has done a great breakdown of this. Trump, for all his faults, and there are numerous, on the marijuana issue, is one of the best Republican candidates we've ever seen. I know, I got to hold my nose as I say it, because there is everything else about Trump is reprehensible. But his stand on marijuana is pretty good. If this election were just on marijuana, I could vote for Donald Trump. It would have to just be on marijuana policy, though, because Donald Trump has said that he supports medical marijuana 100%, saying, I know people that are very, very sick, and for whatever reason, the marijuana really helps them. So Trump's convinced on medical. Unlike Hillary, we don't hear him saying, oh, we need more research. Now, he is opposed to full legalization, but he's one of them states' rights Republicans on it. He has said, quote, I really believe you should leave it up to the states. It should be a state situation. In terms of marijuana and legalization, I think that should be a state issue, state by state, end quote. Hell, that's a great stand from a Republican candidate. Problem is, Mike Pence doesn't agree with that. Indiana Governor Mike Pence is one of the most reefer-mad politicians out there. He's just awful. Six times he voted for the government to still be able to raid medical marijuana patients. Six times. And in 2012, he was against medical marijuana for the state of Indiana because it's a gateway drug. Now, let's see if we can get this Mike Pence clip to play for you. I'll see if this will play on the... don't know if it's on the right line, but we'll try it. Mike Pence at the Indiana gubernatorial debate. See if we can get that quote for you. Of course, it's going to load really slow when I need it to load really fast, but that's okay. Okay, so let me pause this. We'll get this question on medical marijuana here from Mike Pence. This was back in 2012, by the way.
From Mary Hoffer, a registered nurse from Warsaw, who's here with us tonight. Mary?
Hi, thank you for letting me be here. 18 states and the District of Columbia have all enacted some type of medical marijuana law. Should medical marijuana come before you as our next governor, would you support or oppose it, and why?
Mr. Gregg, you're first.
You know, Mary, I would oppose the decriminalization of marijuana.
This is the Democratic candidate.
I don't think that's the solution. I know the legislator who introduced or has proposed that, and I understand his reasons. I have a lot of respect for him.
So already, I mean, we are talking about Indiana. So even the Democrat running in Indiana can't bring himself to support medical marijuana. But let's hear
who the winner was Mike Pence in this election, what Mike Pence had to say.
I would not support the decriminalization of marijuana. To be candid with you, growing up in the Hoosier State, I've seen too many people become involved with marijuana and have their lives sidetracked as a result, or to see marijuana become a gateway drug to even worse addictions on their part. I'm proud to be endorsed by the State Police Alliance, the Indianapolis Fraternal Order of Police. We need to get more serious about confronting the scourge of drugs, especially meth in Indiana. Decriminalization is not the right path, in my honest opinion.
Okay, gentlemen.
Now, the interesting thing about this is the question wasn't about decriminalization of marijuana. It was medical marijuana. The lady asked if a medical marijuana bill came across your desk. Medical marijuana doesn't decriminalize marijuana. Medical marijuana merely gives you an affirmative defense to prosecution. Marijuana remains illegal. But Mike Pence can't even go that far without blurting out gateway drug and meth. This is the kind of understanding he would be bringing to the Oval Office if, God forbid, he became president. Now, not only is that nightmare scenario a way he could become president, I fully believe that Donald Trump, should he win this election, I fully believe he pulls a Sarah Palin and quits before half his term's even over. I do. I believe it. I believe he wins. He gets into office, and then once he realizes he knows jack shit about politics and can't get anything done, he'll go off on some sort of, it's all rigged, I was the president, and nobody let me do anything, and it's all a game, it's all a sham, not worthy of my time, whatever. And then what? Then we're stuck with Mike Pence again. So it's tough in this election, I know. I can't bring myself to vote for Hillary Clinton. I just cannot give an approval to her. I just can't. I just cannot. There's just too many things on the list that she not only supports, but just is the living embodiment of, that I can't get behind. Now, our John Thomas in the chat room has put forth a petition. And I think he'll probably put the link up in the chat room again. But you can go ahead and sign this petition. It basically calls on the Democrats. It's kind of an ultimatum. And the ultimatum is this. If you want me to vote for Hillary Clinton, deschedule marijuana. Now, obviously, there's so many other considerations going on in the world. To think that Hillary or Obama is going to be swayed by this is some wishful thinking. But if there's enough numbers on this thing, there's enough people out there that say, hey, look, you want a desperate last attempt to get my vote, legalize pot. I might even be swayed by that. I don't know. Probably not. Probably not, to be honest with you. But maybe some other people would. Maybe that would be a way to break into some millennial votes. Problem is, it's not going to happen because Hillary Clinton is too beholden to her pharmaceutical donors. We talked earlier about Bernie Sanders being able to get some progressive planks through the platform with the Democrats, being able to get that, you know, support for medical marijuana, for example. But here are some of the votes that went down. It's a 13-member committee. Bernie Sanders was able to get 6 of his people on the committee. There were 6 votes that went 7-6 against a tax on carbon, against banning fracking, against blocking energy companies from using eminent domain to get their oil and gas, about making climate change a test for the Keystone Pipeline, against going for single-payer healthcare, and against searching for ways to make healthcare a right. 2 of those having to do with healthcare got shot down by the organizing committee that has a majority of Hillary Clinton supporters on it. 4 items. So 4 items that have to do with climate change: carbon tax, fracking, eminent domain for fossil fuels, and climate change for Keystone Pipeline, all lost because of the Hillary Clinton majority. The energy companies and the pharmaceutical companies own this woman. So really, on the marijuana issue, if it was just marijuana and Gary Johnson weren't involved at all, if it's just marijuana and it's just Clinton and Trump, I'd have to advise you to vote for Trump. Trump's got a much more laissez-faire, leave my hands off of it, let the states alone attitude. Hillary Clinton's all about, hey, how are we going to get this to Schedule 2 and get it pharmaceuticalized so my donors will give me more money? So if it were really just marijuana and just Clinton Trump, I'd tell you to vote for Trump. He's the better candidate on marijuana. Now, obviously, it's not just about marijuana. Obviously, it's about an orange-skinned madman having his finger on the nuclear button. That's part of the problem, right? Another part of the problem is the most corrupt, obviously lying, politically calculating creature we've seen in a generation in Hillary Clinton. So am I more worried about the crazy guy I can't predict or the corrupt woman I can predict? That's why this whole, you know, vote for Trump, vote for Clinton threats don't threaten me at all. I can see bad things happening from both of them. I can see both of them facing obstruction that prevents them from getting anything good done. Now, another argument that comes back is the judiciary choosing not just Supreme Court justices, but federal court judgeships, appeals court judgeships. Almost, is it about 100 of them that have gone unfilled because Congress refuses to seat any of Obama's picks? How's that going to change? Already, we've got a Senate, a Republican Senate, that won't approve a Supreme Court justice. What, Hillary's going to get in and suddenly they're going to make nice and start approving Supreme Court justices? Or, more likely, Hillary's going to appoint pro-energy, pro-corporate type justices that the GOP would like. So your Supreme Court argument doesn't work on me either, because I don't think we're going to get that much better a Supreme Court out of Hillary Clinton. And for her saying she's going to push an amendment to end Citizens United in her first 100 days, first 30 days, something like that. We'll see. All right, we're going to take a break, get the studio ready for Stoner Jesus. He's coming up at the top of the hour. He'll save your stony soul. Maybe he can pray for my stony back. Stay tuned. Back in a minute.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strain stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barak has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 55 after the hour, coming up in just less than 5 minutes. Stoner Jesus takes over the microphone here at CannabisRadio.com. He'll save your stony soul, make you laugh while he's doing it. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on Cannabis Radio at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm looking forward to the Democratic and Republican conventions. Already the Republican convention is kind of chaotic. The never-Trump people trying to change the rules. There'll be chanting and shout-downs. And there was a protest of 100 naked women outside the convention. Very interesting times we're living in here. Also, I understand there's a security area around the Quicken Loans Arena where you cannot bring firearms, but in the area immediately around that, firearms are okay. You can have your gun, but you can't have any silly string. You can't have any aerosol cans. There's all sorts of things you can't have, but a gun is not one of them. You can have a gun. So who knows what may transpire for the GOP convention by the time this thing's all over. It's fun watching some of the mainstream pundits freaking out over this coming Thursday when Trump will officially be coronated as the Republican nominee. And it's funny because when they lost with Mitt Romney, that's when they thought that was the worst they could do. We lost once again to Obama, and they did an autopsy for their party. And they said, hey, we need to appeal more to women and Latinos and African Americans and millennials. And so what did they do? They ended up nominating the exact opposite of that. A guy who makes Mitt Romney look positively stately. Remember when Mitt Romney got in trouble with his little 47% takers thing? How much a shock that was? This seems quaint in retrospect, doesn't it? Oh, well. I got to turn on some CNN, folks. Thanks for joining us. That's all the time we got for today. Tune in tomorrow for more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.